Grace be unto you, and the love of God the Father, may it surround all of us. We have been able to be here for a few days now at summer services, and the topic of this service has reminded us that we must live near to God. This treasure is not always the most precious treasure, but God has had to seek people and to awaken them. And our text, the text that I will read for the topic of my speech, is connected to the seeking of God. How God wants to return people unto Him. And take one into the grace of His kingdom. And I will read from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And this contains two different narratives. And Jesus tells a parable in the midst of the listeners, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. Then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Either, "What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Amen. this portion in the Gospel of Luke is a small portion of a longish type text in the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus speaks to all people and he leads them to know the situation of people and their own situation, condition in front of God. In many parables, Jesus places his listeners, and also me and you, in front of this, that we have reason to ask of ourselves, is my picture of my travel of faith such that my own understanding in the light of the Word of God, from the perspective of God, and also from the perspective of friends and other children of God, is it the same? And is it the same? And or is it this way, that we have formed ourselves a better image and picture of our travel in life, of taking care of our conscience and living in the midst of the believers, than which is truly could be in front of the Word, before the Word of God? These two parables in the 15th chapter of Luke are preparing the important parable of the prodigal son and his brother. And with these three parables, each has a common goal. The purpose is to help us that we will find our position close to God. We'll find our good will in front of God. And if we take a look at the text, then I will go and place the text in a larger context. And then at the end, I want to think that what does this text mean for us today? The parable starts with this, that unto Jesus arrived, drew near people who wanted to hear the word. People came for that reason, that with their desire they want to listen to the teachings of Jesus. And Luke relates that these people who came unto Jesus are sinners and publicans. The publicans were in the midst of the people of Israel. They had a bad reputation. They were thought to be greedy. They were such a people who were sort of treasurers who took care of their position dishonestly and selfishly, and they kept some of the money that they gathered and they kept it for themselves. So they were frauds, and they were thieves. Part of the reason for their bad reputation was that they were bound to the foreign power that was occupying them, the government, and collecting the tax money where the Caesar's picture was on the money. And in addition to the publicans around Jesus gathered around Jesus that Luke says, then he describes them as just being sinners. And the word just other sinners, tells about people who publicly or secretly were kept in, that they were looked down, frowned upon and looked down at, and their life was frowned upon. What were the sins of these people? Luke doesn't tell us, but they could be the same sins. What people throughout all times have publicly, that sins that are been said are sins throughout all times. There, it could have been, the sinner could have been a thief, or a murderer, or maybe profane, or violent, or cruel. Someone maybe was a drunk. Perhaps someone had difficulties in their marriage and take care of it and were not faithful because of adultery. Perhaps in the group of sinners there were also those who had been judged and put into that position for that reason, that their deeds that they would have been, perhaps they had no reason that they were excluded from the other group that they belonged to. And common among the publicans and for the other sinners was this, that they came to listen to Jesus, and they came with that purpose, that they would receive strength in their lives, they would receive comfort, help, and be able to find that goodness, that fortune that they can know and live near to God. The sermon, the speech, and the teaching that Jesus had taught had affected these people in their minds. And the effect can be seen in this, that they wanted to hear to the teachings of Jesus. Then in the same room or close to this or the same area were the Pharisees and the scribes. And they also listened to Jesus. They knew the teachings of Jesus. but according to their custom and their purpose. Their purpose was different. They listen to the teachings of Jesus with these thoughts that they were looking for reason to accuse Jesus, and so that Jesus would be captured or taken, arrested. In the 13th chapter, Luke writes that a couple Pharisees came to Jesus saying, and then they left and said that Herod is going to kill you. And then the Pharisees and the scribes they were a support to the Herod and in the protection of the high authorities, the Pharisees and the scribes listened to Jesus to look for reasons and possibilities to debate with Jesus, to belittle his teachings and also to look for reasons. Then in the end, what happened? To find basis to nail him on the cross and sentence him to death. And in the midst of this type of a congregation of two different types, Jesus begins to tell these three narratives. These two narratives here first, and then the parable of the lost son, prodigal son. The first parable is a very beautiful picture of this, how the shepherd takes care of his flock. In the parable, Jesus says that if any one of you, the Pharisees and the scribes, or the publicans, or the other sinners, if any of you would have 100 sheep, and you who has 100 sheep loses one, of course you're going to go and look for the lost sheep. And even in this way, that you have to leave the other 99, so and when you find it, you rejoice and invite friends into your home and rejoice over finding the lost sheep. And in this way, when a person who is lost is found and returns to the fellowship with God, then even in heaven there is rejoicing. And this parable of Jesus perhaps is a little bit conflicting in its narrative. Perhaps the wise shepherd will not leave all the rest of his sheep to find the one lost one, because perhaps the other 99 would be lost when he came back. But this side in this parable is important in this way. It helps to remind us the parable, and to remember the parable, the listener will remember the teaching. The teaching is that if one person repents, there's rejoicing in heaven. But there are many, many people who think that they are righteous, who do not have the need to repent, and they do not need or do not want to turn to God. You may think, when there were publicans and other sinners listening, there were also Pharisees and scribes, that in what way these four groups of listeners accepted, and how did they think about the words of Jesus in their own minds and hearts? The second parable of the 10 pieces of silver is a parable. Perhaps women understand better than men. For it's probable that this parable of the 10 pieces of silver is connected to a silver chain that a woman wears, where there are 10 pieces of silver, and when one of these pieces of silver is gone, all this chain is now worthless and cannot be used. When Jesus raises this type of an article, he knows that there are not many who have enough money to have this type of a chain. And if one has, it has been inherited, which is used at a wedding, and it is valuable to the carrier of the chain, and it is valuable to everybody who is able to see it. But the piece is gone, is lost. But by working hard to find it, the woman finds it, and she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." And in this way, this parable, which is easily remembered, and the teaching is remembered. The teaching is in this, that in heaven there is rejoicing for one sinner who repents. And I was thinking to place these parables in a broader perspective. And now this time at summer services, but for me, it is good to be near God, which is the motto. It tells about the correct person for a person. The correct place for a person is there, where the person knows that God is Father and knows and feels that they belong to the flock of God, the people, nation of God, and in the midst of the nation of God, there's care, there's security, there's sheltering, and there is blessings. But it is nevertheless so that in the beginning, from the very beginning, a person has in many ways has made their life difficult before God because of sin. Different types of sins. He has traveled away from that place where God has called that person to be and placed that person in His own image, in His own, as His own servant and builder of life, shepherd or steward of the land and the earth, and to protect and to help other people. The fortune of this person then goes away from us because of our sin and because of our transgressions. As people, we are many times greedy. We have a lot of pride. We trust that everything is in our own hands, our fortunes, and we people cause many conflicts with other people and difficulties with other people and disagreements. And in the situation, the position where one chooses, when the way to go away from God opens up, we have an enticer and a convincer who is the opponent, the enemy of God, that the Bible uses the name Satan or the devil, who turns our mind and our thoughts to this, the time that we live in, and to the enticements, or in the midst of trials and burdens, he turns our mind to be a mind of doubting and unbelief, and to a state of mind, state of heart, that does not long for God nor needs God. This, in the beginning of the 15th chapter, where it was mentioned that there are publicans and sinners and Pharisees and scribes, are a picture to me, and are a picture of me and a picture of you. And they are a picture of all of us people. They tell of a sorrowful, true thing, that sin dwells in us people, that it takes a place in us, and it makes us its servants, and sin makes us the enemy to the work of God and the opponent to the work of God. And I think that the publicans and the sinners are those people, and that portion that is in us who have difficulties living according to the commandments of God, that the commandments which begin with the fourth commandment and end with the tenth commandment. And these Pharisees and the scribes they have difficulties with the first, second, and third commandments. I will not stop any longer with the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes, but I want to lift this thing up, raise this point, the will of these people has come from the desire to follow the will of God and to make real the Word of God in their lives as a true way in their lives. And in some way, it's something that makes us stop and think, and to understand that the Pharisee's way of thinking, and the teachings of life of the scribes, was born in that situation, that they wanted to be near to God and in the midst of God. And so it happens when a person wants to take the work of the kingdom of God in their own hands and to make it according to his own understanding and wisdom, the Pharisees and scribes sincerely wanted to do the work of God, and that's what they attempted to do. And with this, they were zealous in their battle, but the Spirit of God was not with their work, and it was not in their attempts, but their work was guided by hate, zealousness, and strictness, and mercilessness. And we all feel in ourselves and in our hearts the dangers of sin and the power of sin. And we feel them in many different ways. The goodwill of God is that these powers of sin would be defeated today. I want to yet say a few words. What does this gospel mean for today? Throughout these days at summer services, many of you have come into the big tent, have come in through the doors, and many of you have sat on those very narrow wooden benches. And when you have sat there, listeners, as according to the word of Luke, that when they said that they wanted to hear the teachings of Jesus, I myself have sat on the bench, and I have rejoiced of the the grace of God and the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. The gospel which again and again that has been preached in Jesus' name and blood. I have rejoiced over the songs and the hymns of the journey of the children of God, and it has felt comforting and it has felt good that I have been able to sit before the face of God, to be undressed, to repent, and to believe of grace. And there are probably many who have wanted to come to the services, but for one reason or another, because of obstacles, there's been difficulties or it's been impossible to come to services. But perhaps you have been able to listen to the word of the gospel. It has warmed you. It has called you to repentance. It has called you into the fellowship of the kingdom of God. And it has invited you to come to know Jesus as your Savior. A few minutes ago I said that the work of the kingdom of God is not successful because of the work and the power of people, but it is successful only with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the gospel that God gave his Son to be a teacher in the Word as this wise example and the counselor of the way of life and the gate of repentance. And on the cross he gave his life. And through him, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the gospel is preached. And this door then is opened to everlasting life. The will of the Heavenly Father is that the lost will return, and the lost will then come back in. And that's the reason there's rejoicing in heaven. My friend, believe, sins forgiven. From the grace of God, even though you have nothing to offer, he will forgive you all your sins in Jesus' name and blood. I also want to be believing this gospel, and for this reason I want to ask, can I also remain believing all my sins forgiven? My will is to be with you. And as these services are now concluding, remain believing all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Be of good cheer. The good care of the Heavenly Father in fellowship of his kingdom, may the power of the Holy Spirit carry you who is exhausted under the weight of your own cross, and in difficulties you ask that can I yet believe? Do I still have strength? Is it yet possible? And it's good to be here, for God calls to be near God. May it be for all people that it is the will of God to be near God in heaven. And for this reason, you have permission to believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen.